Good morning and welcome back to the Black on Black Education Podcast. I am your host, Miss Eva Loren Jean Charles. I am the co-founder of Black on Black Education, and I am still in the classroom as a full-time high school government and economics teacher. I started Black on Black Education in 2019 after hearing a lyricist and historian use the term to describe education he received in his schooling experience, and I went running from there. If you want more information on Black on Black Education, its origin story, all the things that made us who we are today and who we will be in the future, please check out the Black on Black Education documentary. You can find it on YouTube, our website, on our Who We Are page, and you can also just comment here or find us on social media, and I'll DM the link straight to you. So this morning, I really just wanted to check in and chat about the fact that I am going to be a married woman in 5 days, which feels insane. I am extraordinarily excited, but I also want to talk more deeply about the parallels between planning this wedding and getting excited about being married and starting this new chapter of my life and student-centered teaching. So let's get into it. Actually, before I get into that, I want to let you know why the audio is not clear, why you might hear me talking, fumbling, moving, because I have decided that I don't have the bandwidth right now to record a high quality episode with my microphone, edit it, put it away. There will be days where I am sitting down at my mic because I have the opportunity to do so, but that is not always going to be the case, and I didn't want that to stop me from having these conversations with you. So if you were thinking, why do I hear cars driving by and music and her dog and all these other things, it's because I'm trying to have candid conversations with you all, and I just don't want to not have those conversations because I don't have the capacity to do it in the perfect way. We are committed to imperfection this year, and if that is something that you struggle with, like I know so many of my fellow educators do it imperfect. The kids will appreciate you regardless. So now, let's actually get into the parallels between planning a wedding and being excited about my marriage and student-centered practices. So, it's become abundantly clear that there are parallels between the experience of teachers and the experience of students in the education system, and I'm not sure that everyone recognizes them. So when we think about or we look at one of our peers in the morning or at any point throughout the day, and we say, hey, how you doing? And they're, I'm surviving, I'm here. Those feelings of dissatisfaction with our experience within the education system as educators is something that I have seen and know to be a parallel between young people and ourselves. We both are not enjoying the experience and what schools have to offer and the ways that we are being supported or not supported in the education space. So I want to start with that as a parallel. And then there are 10 million other examples that we can give of the ways that what we do not like or the dissatisfaction that we have in the education system, there is a very unique parallel that young people, students have as well in that arena. So when we know that our experiences as teachers and their experiences as students are so similar, why are we constantly in a state of fighting with them? Why are we constantly in a state of the push and pull? Well, it's because we have different incentives, right? We're paid to be there. They're not. A diploma and a high school diploma is extraordinarily important in today's society as much as it was previously. But there are in ways that our generations before us did not have for us to make a living and figure out life outside of those things. So young people are seeing that on social media, and they're divesting from the education system because they realize that it is not the only way for them to find success in their futures. Us as teachers recognize, and many of us, most of us, all of us, have gone through the system in a very particular way. Some of us as great students, some of us as not, but that definition of great student, again, as student-centered educators, student-centered practitioners, we are combating the idea that a great student is one that raises their hand all the time, or that is always excited about having conversations in the classroom, or that is consistently handing in their work on time. That is not the only way to show that you are a good student, particularly actually a good student of life, not just a good student of this white supremacist, colonial, racist, sexist, classist education system, right? We know that education is a microcosm of all of the isms that exist within our society. And so if we know that to be true, we need to be intentional about the ways that we are divesting from them. But 2020 talked to us all about that when we were all pretending that we were going to be the most anti-racist radical people in the entire world. I know I still am, but I know there's plenty of my friends that were not, that are not still on that bandwagon, right? And when I say friends, I use that term very, very regardless, I know that y'all are still trying to figure out what the hell is this parallel between this wedding and this student-centered practice. And I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you that it's the sheer reality that I, as a teacher, have something that I am deeply excited about in my life that has absolutely nothing to do with my position in education. And think about how many of our young people have things that they are deeply passionate about, things they truly and genuinely care about, that has nothing to do with the way that they show up in the school system. And we often, when we are working to become student-centered practitioners but are not quite there yet or are not in that part of our journey yet, we fail to recognize that our young people are begging, they are pleading, they are wishing that we would do something for them, that we would support them in all that they are and not just who they are as students. So remember when I was talking about decolonizing our idea of what a good student is? It is the same thing as decolonizing what it means to be a good teacher. Just because I'm using my prep period to plan for my wedding this weekend and not using it to grade papers or do whatever else, that doesn't make me a bad teacher. It makes me happy and excited about something in my life, which is allowing me to show up in the classroom in a lighter way, in a happier way, in a more joyful way, a way that I want to spread joy rather than take it away. I still will never forget this as a part of our book club, our Ratchademic book club, that one of our biggest supporters throughout this entire thing that we've been doing called education, she said that what frustrates me about young people is that their exuberance infuriates me. And their exuberance infuriates us because we don't have it. Because so often we are denying ourselves play and fun and joy in the name of being great teachers. And I don't want to do that. And I'm finding and realizing that there is such an incredible alignment between me making the choice to focus solely or almost solely on what I need in this moment rather than the needs of the system that I don't believe in. And I am just super grateful for that reality, for that reflection. And I hope that from this conversation, you all are realizing that you can make that choice too. You can make that decision too. You can go over your PTO days. You can decide to go on a whim on a lesson plan every once in a while. Because at the end of the day, nothing that we are doing in the classroom, go back and read last week's blog. If it's not last week for you, again, DM me. I will send you a link to the blog that I'm talking about. But there is all we have to do to be student-centered practitioners. All we have to do is review what we're doing, reflect on our current experience, relax, and realize that nothing that we are teaching other than the life skills that we often push to the side so that we can meet the needs of the curriculum are life-threatening. None of them are life or death. So when we relax and realize that we can enjoy their exuberance instead of allowing it to infuriate us because we have found our own, we are going to see an incredible change in the culture of our classrooms. And when we have powerful culture, just like work culture, societal culture, community culture, home culture, in our classrooms, when we have incredible culture, we also create the space for incredible academic growth. And the research tells us that. So we need to be very intentional about what we are doing in the classroom, because every time I have felt like I need to leave, I can't do this, it has been about the culture of my school building not being able to serve and support me as an educator, not being able to recognize my entirety of my being instead of just this one isolated part. And I refuse to be seen as an isolated part. Yes, I am an educator, and I am so much more than that. And I'm allowed to be so much more than that. And I should be bringing that into the classroom. And when I do, my young people are connected to me in a way that they can never be when I am trying to uplift and uphold the system's decision on what a good teacher is. So
That is today's episode. These are going to be short, quick, sweet ways for me to just get what's been in my head, the ideas, the reflections, the journey of being a student-centered practitioner out of my head and onto this podcast so that y'all can take a second on your commute to school, on your commute to anywhere else that you're going while you're in the gym, whatever it might be, to just take something to soak in and realize that, again, I am working and teaching and experiencing this the need for this change, but I am also doing the work with you. I am learning with you. I am recognizing that I mess up so much with you. And we as educators, the sooner that we realize that we're allowed to make mistakes, the easier it will be for us to allow our young people to make mistakes, and the faster we will get to a place where the young people in our communities, in our classrooms, in our schools will realize that we are someone that they can come to in any situation, and we are the ones that they can look to as how to live. They might not want to be teachers when they grow up. Shoot, I'm not in a place where I can recommend the profession, but I think that if we show them that we can be joyful and combative when it's necessary, we will also be able to show them how important it is for them to show up for themselves. They need to see that someone can do that. They need to see that someone can resist. They need to see that someone can find joy even in difficult situations. And they need to see that someone can learn from their mistakes, move forward, apologize, and keep going. Because these are the skills that are going to take them to where they want to be in the world, not 2 + 2 = 752 x² w pi. Just my opinion. See y'all next time.